come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Thanks for listening to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Hopefully this is your return trip to the Saturday Night Freak Show. But if this is your first time, welcome.
Hello.
We're a group of internet radio superstars, only because we say we are.
Yeah, we're a group of something.
We sit around and watch movies every Saturday night. Then we sit around and talk about them afterwards, and we record our thoughts for your entertainment and listening pleasure. Who are the internet radio superstars, you ask?
Travis.
Sean.
Holly.
And I'm Colin. And just want to remind you that we're doing a thing right now where we are going to be doing a listener's choice series of reviews on the Saturday Night Freak Show coming up probably in January. And so what we want to do, we want to hear from you. And thanks to all of you who have already submitted your suggestions. But what you want to do is go on over to our Facebook page.
Will voting be over by the time this airs?
No, we're still going to leave it open.
One more week after this?
This week, as you're listening to it right now, this week we're leaving it open, and then we're going to try and narrow down the field and figure out what we're going to watch. But we are going to watch some of the suggested movies in January. So facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. It's pinned to the top, the listener's choice. Comment on that, and we will we're going to watch some of those movies. So let us know what you'd like to hear us talk about. This week, it was my pick. And so I chose the movie Cat People from 1982, directed by Paul Schrader, who previously wrote the script for Taxi Driver. It kind of feels like, you know, how did this guy end up doing Cat People for Universal Pictures?
Indeed.
He also did, prior to this, he did a movie called American Gigolo. With Richard Gere. And subsequently did a movie called Hardcore, which I really like, which you should check out, with one of my all-time favorite actors, George C. Scott. And then he got back into the horror field by he did the original version of The Exorcist 4, The Exorcist the Beginning, the one that was completely redone by Remy Harlan.
The one no one saw.
Is that what it's called? The version no one saw?
And the other ones, the one no one fucking gave a shit about The Exorcist when those movies came out.
Like, I saw them both.
What a waste of money that they redid that.
Well, that's the thing, because the second one, or the original version, is not any better than the Rennie Harlan version.
Is this the one that came out recently? Like 10
It's like
years?
Exorcist the Beginning?
Like an 05 or something, right?
Dominion is the other one.
Was it 04, 05?
Something like
so
that.
So it's the same movie, but two people, like, they did it and then redid it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's significantly different, but it's about the same idea. One of them goes big Hollywood special effects, and the other one goes, like, low-key drama. But either way, it's like neither one of them.
Equal quality?
Yeah. Neither one of them is really worth your time.
And Colin watched them both.
And I watched them both. Yeah, well, I mean, you know.
Somebody's got to.
As a horror movie historian, you have to do these kind of things. Just to get us to Cat People, Universal Pictures, who was famous in the 1930s for doing a series of horror movies, including Dracula, Frankenstein, The Wolfman, etc., in the early 80s, got the idea that, hey, we're going to like remake some of these movies that have been like in our possession, either that they had made or had acquired the rights to or whatever, including Dracula, Frankenstein, they did The Thing, Cat People. All of these were done because of the revolutionary, you know, special effects technologies that came after the success of Star Wars.
The original was 42?
I think we were saying it was 42, but it was a RKO Pictures movie, not a Universal movie. It was
a cheaper kind of ripoff, guys.
Yeah.
More exploitation.
Well, there was a film producer named Val Lewton. Maybe you've heard this name if you're into horror at all.
Yes, I've heard that name.
He's one of the few guys where the producer is more famous than the director of the movie. Like, you know, he's known for a certain kind of tone and atmosphere where he would do all these things that were basically like very suggestive of horror without actually being very explicit, you know. And so he had a French guy named Jacques Tourneur. who actually directed the 1942 Cat.
Oh, Jacques Tourneau?
Jacques Tourneau?
What did you say? Is it Tourneau?
I'm not entirely sure how
I
you
think I know who you're talking
Jacques
about.
Jacques Tourneau?
Yeah.
And the guy that wrote it, that DeWitt, what was his last name? DeWitt,
DeBowen. DeWitt Bodine.
Bodine. That's right, Bodine. I was trying to remember that.
Bodine.
But supposedly, the original Wolfman script written by Kurt Siodmak originally didn't involve Larry Talbot turning into a wolf. It was supposed to be psychologically suggested that he turns into a wolf. And then they're like, fuck it. Let's do the makeup. Let's do a universal monster, right? And so Cat People was supposed to be a ripoff of the original Kurt Siodmak script where we're not going to show a transformation. This is all going to be a psychological thing. And which is weird because that screenwriter, like, he ripped on Kurt Siodmak's script and then made a complete ripoff. Like, just a more sexual ripoff, right? It's like, that's a bunch of bullshit. Put some tits in it. Now we're talking. That's a movie. A classic horror film.
Sexual Ripoff is a great 80s band name.
Oh, my God.
Sexual
Ripoff. Yes.
Sexual Ripoff.
Yes.
I like that. Sexual Ripoff. Copyright 2016 Saturday Night Freak Show.
Funny.
I've often wondered, like, if, watching The Wolfman, I've often wondered what it would play like. Because you could cut those scenes of him running around in the, make you know, the hairy suit out and still have a movie.
All he does is choke people.
Yeah, and then it wakes up the next. Wakes up the next day, and then the movie resumes. Like, what have I done the night before? There's people dead. Did I or did I not turn into a?
Are you telling me that a man can turn into a beast? No, I say it's fantastic.
Yeah, but so the original movie stars a woman named Simone Simon.
Whoa!
Yeah,
that's very nice. Pretty.
Yeah, Simone.
She's
Simon.
Obviously a spy.
And it was a story. Well, I mean, I guess this is going to cover the basic story of both of these movies. But she's a woman who, this is in the original, right? Is like possibly mentally unbalanced. She believes that if she has sex with someone, she's going to turn into a cat. And the only way that she can become human again, I'm not sure if that's in the original or in
the sequel. Can I explain the parable to the audience? She'll get turned out. She'll completely become a whore if she has sex with one. Like, I can't do it once or else, whew, it's just going to, the shit, it's going to hit the fan. I'm going to sleep with everybody in town. Isn't that a weird parable? That's what it is. Well, it's like, I can't release the demon, you know?
Well, is it that or is it just the, like, a metaphor or analogy for, like, animal passion? The idea that, like, when you are in the midst of lovemaking, you are at your most.
But she knows that, like, even if I sleep with my husband, I'm like, no. If this thing's going good between us, like, if I start having sex, woo-hoo, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but that's more of a, I think that's more of a fear of man, right? You know, the same way. You know, the werewolf parable's always been like, oh, if a dude lusts after a chick, you know, he could get so riled up that he could rape her. So there's the werewolf metaphor, right? So this is man's fear of like, oh, if a woman has sex once, dude, forget it, you know, like, oh, you know, she'll just become a whore. And like, it's a man fear.
Man fear.
Man fear.
Well,
same thing with like it's the same thing with the Dracula. If you listen to our episode a few weeks ago, I always say, you know, Dracula, it's the fear of another, a foreign man coming in and sweeping your woman off her feet. And
yeah,
I imagine the 1942 version, when they change it to cats, they're tiny house cats because it's the same time. That's what I imagine.
I think it's just a shadow, right?
Yeah, is it really?
There is a leopard in the zoo, I believe. In the 1942
there is an escaped zoo. There is an escaped leopard, and that's why she's like, "Is that me? Am I turning into a cat?"
Yeah.
They're like, "No, idiot. People don't turn into cats."
But in the 42, when she actually does get married to the zookeeper Oliver,
yeah,
and then they don't consummate the relationship because she's, you know, afraid of it. And I think there's a scene, I remember it, where she's like, you know, he's on one side of the door and she's on the other side and she slinks down to her knees, you know, like face up against the door kind of thing. It's about as like, you know, erotic as you can get for 1942, right? You know, that there's this passion on either side of the door.
Is there any in between, like if there's oral sex, she like grows paws and that's it? She's just a human walking around with paws? Or is it like go full or not at all?
I don't think it's
developed. It's only either. Psychological okay. in the original.
Just wondering.
Well, in the this original, I don't remember
like,
how the original
let's throw
ends.
That out and let's have Panthers fuck people.
Well, I guess that's what the opportunity you're afforded in the 80s is that you can be more explicit, A, both in content and in your visual effects. All right, so in the 1980
the visual
movie,
effects were tremendous in this movie.
Really? Well, were they?
Well, are you talking about just the undraped figure of Nastasia Kinski?
That we'll never was know. Pretty...
It's a sexy when it's not. It's a sexy movie when it's not.
I'm sorry,
being,
were you saying
when,
so
it's, when it's not being rapey with Malcolm McDowell and whatnot?
Oh, God.
No. That whole thing, the brother and sister thing. It's a very sexy movie. I will say that.
That's a weird addition. I must say,
yeah.
I never like.
It's like, did they have to be brother and sister? It doesn't.
It's it could, very.
It could be
like,
of because
this
of a clan
adds like a whole
but
like
it's like we are brother and sister.
This adds a mythology of cat fuckers or something like that. You know, we start the movie off with cat fuckers, a woman getting tied to a tree, and I just knew it. I'm like, oh no, this is not a sacrifice, goddammit.
How did you know that?
Just because I knew, because I'm like,
because when I was a kid and saw it, I thought that when the cat jumps up on her, I thought that was the cat, you know, eating her.
No, it was very gentle. Plus,
yeah, just like licking her ear.
Plus, I understood, from documentaries, I understood how the original was a psychological, so the a psychological parable or whatever. So then when I saw this just open, I'm like, oh shit! They threw the parable out the window, and they're just going with like, that's right, people, buckle up.
Way back in Africa, people used to have sex with panthers, and somehow the soul of the like the panthers get impregnated with the human soul and the soul grows within them. This is a mythology that's doled out later on in a dream scene.
It did say that they sacrifice people to the panthers. So
it's just a different kind.
I'm assuming, I mean, what you thought was right, like it is supposed to be eating it, but that's like the further down the line we're seeing the down the line where it already like knows that it has human souls and can have sex, and that could even been a human for all we know.
Yeah,
we don't even know if that panther at the beginning was just like a stupid panther god or something, whatever. That could have been a human
at the panther tree that way out in Africa. It's a panther tree.
It's a panther tree.
A panther tree.
I'm never gonna watch The Lion King the same way again. Tell you that.
Yeah. So a descendant of these panther fuckers is this woman named Irina.
I think that's what they were called.
Panther fuckers?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they get the guys, all, you know, like, I like the fact that the natives are tattooed or painted with
like
leopard
leopards,
spots.
Yeah.
That way you know, hey, we're with you guys.
Yeah. So don't eat us.
Don't eat us. Us too, right, guys? Us
too. But Irina arrives in New Orleans and is... So, okay, so she has been in foster homes since the age of 4 or something like this, we learned, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
We've learned this. Her parents were circus folk that raised cats.
Yes.
Lion
and
tamers.
For some reason, she had, like, no...
Well, they killed themselves.
They killed themselves.
Yeah, they killed themselves.
Right.
And her brother was 10, she was 4, so they were both shipped off to foster families.
And he landed in New Orleans and became a preacher.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, right? He was like a preacher?
Yeah.
That's the weird thing about this movie, right? I thought this movie was going to be like have a heavy religious tone to keep her from her sexuality. Because like the first thing you see in the airport is someone passing out the lighthouse, right? Mm-hmm. Which that's the Jehovah's Witness thing, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, and it's really like, I mean, it's not like an important part of the story, but I mean,
the audio makes
the
it
person,
blatant.
Yeah, the person center stage.
He yells at everybody as they walk by.
And he had the collar on when he met her at the airport.
Yeah, Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
He had the collar on. Mm-hmm. And then, like,
I was
their first
I was
dinner.
Too busy concentrating on how close he was to her for being his her brother.
So close.
That's when you get the impression that something is amiss in this family. Yes. Yeah.
Attendant.
He doesn't even hide it. He's just like looking just, at like, her, like, just wait her. Till tonight. I mean.
Well, there's a great scene where he takes her back to his house, this big sprawling like New Orleans mansion, right? And he's got this live-in housekeeper named Fimali, which I love that story too.
I like that. That was good.
Her what name is that? If it's female, or I guess somebody like when they were delivering her, they just said she was female, gotcha. And whoever you know didn't speak the language of Fimali, so now like Fimali. Tamale. But there's a scene at the dinner table where Irina is telling, you know, Paul, her brother, you know, like about her experiences up until this point. Somehow they've been reunited. He found her somehow and then has brought her to New Orleans. And when you're watching Fimali's face, like this is where it's like, you know, like she knows what where this is eventually going to go. That, you know, I mean, the idea is that for these cat people. The only people that they can have sex with are each other, incestuously brother and sister pairs, like apparently their parents, because if they don't, then they will turn in, you know, the act of lovemaking turns them into a panther, and the only way that they can become a human again is by killing someone. So, but watching Fimali's face in that scene, because she's like, you know, I used to fantasize about you, and he's like, fantasize about me, and you see Fimali is going like,
she's got the oh shit face.
Yeah, her eyes are like, no, another
one. Yeah, I would do it that dinner. I'd be like, oh, Jesus. People are fucking seriously? This is happening?
I got stuck with this family I'll never know.
Yeah.
I was like that watching this movie. As soon as a movie becomes incestuous, I get like, what? Like, I automatically have to like, I... It's hard for me to like even watch those movies because I'm just like, I can't buy this. This is crazy.
He's like, Colin promised me a sexy movie and now there's a brother and a sister in it.
Yeah,
and
that's they ruined a sexy movie. God damn it. It was like, oh.
Yeah.
Get out of there, lady.
Although I'll say that they cast like two perfect cat people in this. Yes. I mean, Nastasia Kinski. Natasha?
Nastasia.
Nastasia Kinski.
Nastasia.
And Malcolm McDowell. I mean, if you're going to pick people who like move and look like cats,
it's the eyes.
Yeah, I mean, you totally buy it, right? And it's like, okay, these are cat people, no doubt.
No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, look at that. Look at those.
We're looking at the poster, the poster art, which I maintain is one of the sexiest movie posters of all time. I think it's just because of the water and whatever.
Is that even the original poster? Because I thought originally
there's a purple one.
The side, like. Isn't it her laying down with
the
side of her face with like a red planes? I
thought that was like the VHS it's always case. Been. It's either been this one or there's one that has like the cat tree in the background. It's like
that's probably like I guess the one. Maybe I'm wrong about her positioning.
You should check this poster out, folks. It's a breathtaking image.
It's breathtaking.
Natasha Kinski or Nastasia? She's the daughter of Klaus Kinski. Do any of you guys know who Klaus is? He's the madman actor of German cinema. He did a lot of movies with Werner Herzog. He was Nosferatu, the vampire. And, no?
Oh, really?
Gloria, the Wrath of God. Fitzcarraldo, where they carried Yeah, okay.
No.
He ended up in movies like Creature and Crawl Space before his death.
Wait, he played Nosferatu?
Yeah.
The,
in the, what, the 60s, 70s version?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Werner Herzog.
The Werner Herzog. Now Nosferatu comes into the window and sees his prey.
Hello, Werner.
Yeah.
I didn't see you.
Oh, hello. Guten Tag. My problem with this movie is there's like almost no, it's like, okay, the mystery you're supposed to have is like, Malcolm McDowell kind of like casually hits on his fucking sister. And then he's just like, fine, I gotta get out of here. And then we just go to a hooker, a happy hooker showing up.
Lynn Lowry from Shivers?
Really?
Yeah, okay. They Came From Within.
Cool.
It's an alternate title.
The Cronin, the weird, sexy AIDS the cannibal
weird,
movie.
Sexy weird, AIDS, sexy AIDS.
It's the blood parasite movie. That? Oh, you got to see this movie at some point.
Insane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm not even sure if there's a story in that movie. It's just people in bikinis running around, fucking each other and eating each other.
They become sex maniacs when they get a parasite inside them that's exchanged through bodily transmission.
It needs a remake, like a trust me.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it on the list, Sean.
Perfectly fine to me.
Yeah. Trust me. I thought that too when I was like 14. Like, I'm like, this is going to be the best night ever.
There's a
they
scene.
They come from
that,
within?
Yeah.
It's called Shivers.
Shivers. Oh, I heard Shivers. Okay.
But there's a scene with Barbara Steele in a bathtub, and something comes out of the bathtub.
The pool.
Slithers
the pool.
Up. Yeah, I remember the Barbara pool. Barbara
Steele in a bathtub. Gross.
Yeah.
But, so this, so Malcolm McDowell. So there's just a hooker who's, you know, she's
going
like.
Going through the motions as she gets in the room?
Well, she just goes into a room, and she's talking to a, you know, someone's in the bathroom, right? And she's just like, hey, $25 for a massage, blah, blah, blah. And
she steals their money.
Surprise, surprise. There's a cat under the bed.
First of all, there's cat something.
Oh, yeah. Cat goo.
Oh, crap.
Well, cat we goo. Find out that that's transformation ooze.
Transformation ooze.
We'll see.
Yeah. Yes. When you transmogrify from a human to a cat. All right. So, but here's the question. I like this movie. Don't get me wrong.
Don't
but I don't understand this. He didn't have sex with anyone. How'd he turn into a cat? Malcolm McDowell is able to do this multiple times in the movie. Whenever he is aroused, apparently, he can turn into
so
a
strong.
Panther. Yeah, without actually having sex with someone, because he does it
is
with
he a
Irina.
Is he a premature cat person? Is that what it is?
Premature catulation?
Maybe you can jack off and be a cat person.
There you go.
I don't know.
Any sexual gratification?
Any sort of release.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
waiting for the hooker. He turns into a cat person when he confronts Irina at John Hurd's house later on. He turns into a cat person.
Yeah,
she stabs him with the glass.
That's true. How can
he does
control
have
it?
Some sexual problems. According when he's with the blonde later,
yeah.
he can't
yeah.
get it up. So.
I mean, can you learn to control it if you're a cat person? Does it not necessarily have? I mean, if you are a cat person, can you just turn at will? It's just the fact that when you have sex, you have to turn. So it's like their full moon, right?
Maybe.
Like, action movies would have you believe a werewolf can just transform whenever they get into fights with vampires or whatever fuck at any moment. But you should, but under the full moon, you are compelled, right? So is that what they're trying to say? Are they trying to sell you, you could turn into a cat, but you have to turn into a cat if you have
yeah,
sex.
I'm not I mean,
that's
got to
be
sure.
it, otherwise it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, or
yeah,
else
because
it doesn't
just,
make sense.
It's
which
the
it
idea.
Could totally not make
sure.
sense, and I will give that in this movie.
Yeah. Right. I don't
well, because there's the part where he's talking to his sister, and he's like, when you have these feelings, and he's describing the things that are happening to her, he's like, you think it's arousal, you think it's love. It's not, it's the animal. And I think that's kind of their way of saying that just the arousal portion is what brings it out. So it could, depending on how strong the feeling is yeah. how is the probability of them turning into the cat.
But he always
that's why
changes
he yeah.
within like a proximity of some kind of sexual mm-hmm. act or advance.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
with the hooker.
He's
you know,
very sensitive.
He well,
that is this guy's
him.
Only goal in the movie is like, he's like, hello, my sister. Come see my house. Have sex with me. Have sex with me. Please.
But he just can't broach the subject on the first night.
No, right. he's not
you gotta
even
ease
like.
Her into that shit.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, the first night, he's like, come look at our family's childhood stuff. Whatever. Then he's like sniffing her hair and shit. Or what does he do? He kind of like
rubbing
gives her a little
creepy.
Like.
Yeah.
They're very cat-like. And
really
like, God damn.
Yeah. But
that's
then he wanders
like, oh,
off, right? Like,
yeah,
right
he
away,
does.
He wanders
off,
kills the hooker. Or, sorry, he
kills
turns into a panther, doesn't kill the hooker.
You're right.
He gets, they bring out.
Oh,
the,
that's right. Gets her leg. She
yeah.
runs
yeah.
down the stairs.
And she has the amazing
she's fine,
the
they
bra
said the
that just, like, by, on remote control,
it was
something
nice.
Pops open.
Well, this Paul Schrader guy's a creep.
Cue the bra. Cue the bra.
I have to tell you that. He's a creep.
I mean, if it's.
Now there, I see there's a reason why he wrote about an underage hooker and Taxi Driver.
I will say.
Paul Schrader's a creep.
If it's a front closure bra, that can happen.
But it was just amazing.
And I'm not complaining.
If you're yawning too hard, you're just like, oh! Oh,
mm-hmm. oh shit.
My bad.
You'd be surprised.
That's why they designed those.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
It was
but
very interesting.
But in the scene, would it happen? Like, if that, if you were just like...
We need
it
a commentary
like a
track.
Happy accident.
She's
there is
kind
a
of hobbled down the stairs on her stomach. I mean, it's not
that's
unlikely.
True. If there is a commentary track on this that
addresses that,
that addresses
moment,
it, yeah. then that is the best commentary. Because that's what I want from commentary track when they address moments like that that happened.
That yeah. was an accident when that actress is
that was not an
out.
Accident.
That was like that took five takes to get that.
Yeah.
Correct.
It was kind of sped up a little bit, so you could tell it was like a
because they
an
cut out a few frames.
Like yeah, like. Get it open. God damn it.
Well, this it gives the opportunity to introduce the next set of characters in the movie, which is John Hurt as a as Oliver, the curator of the local zoo.
Yep.
His girl Friday, Annette O'Toole.
Annette O'Toole.
And
the wonderful Annette O'Toole.
Ed My Begley Jr.
That's right.
Ed Begley Jr.
As fucking the red despicable. Shirt.
Yeah, as the red shirt.
The red shirt.
I don't even know his name.
The fucking Swedish red shirt.
I have no idea what his name was.
Billy?
No clue. Yeah.
So they all take this, they get this panther.
Just trapped in the hotel room.
Trapped in the hotel room.
Which is a pretty cool scene when things like freaking out, you know, when they try
to. They had to freak a panther out in a hotel room.
They did indeed.
What are we doing today? Oh, boy.
Yeah. Seriously, the animal cruelty had to have been just out of the window on
That's
this one.
That's not cruel.
Yeah, did you guys stick around to see if it even, like, bothered to have a...
Oh, those animals were fine.
All it said was there were animals in this movie.
It just freaked out in the hotel room, but it still was able to run and jump around. They tranquilized it, sure, but the animals get tranquilized all the time.
And
there's a couple of sedated cougars, panthers, leopards, whatever the hell they are. I don't know about that.
Right.
But yeah, so they take the animal back to the zoo, and it ends up that Irina ends up there as it gets a job through Oliver.
Because she's staring at the panther late into the night.
Yeah. I guess you're supposed to assume this is why this movie is kind of bad in my mind, right? It's because I guess she's in a taxi and she's supposed to like feel the call of the wild and have to like I have to go to the zoo. But it just I mean she has the I have to go to the zoo, but you don't feel the psychological like. Yeah, I don't even know. What would you do? I have a bunch of monkey sounds and
it's always monkeys.
Zoo sounds. Like, yeah, monkeys and parrots. That's the call of the wild.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple call of the wilds going on here because this is where Oliver develops his, the beginning of a sexual obsession, right? Which is actually, I think, what this movie is about, right?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Where this is a guy who becomes so obsessed with this woman who he can't have sex with. She refuses to have sex with him basically the entire way through the movie.
But it takes a while to get there. Like, he's not just jumping at the fat. I mean, well, no, I guess he is, right? Because their first date, he starts filling her up. I was like, whoa, this guy, he's a boss. Because
his first date or their first date,
they went out for oysters, their first kiss, he kissed her, then started grabbing her tits. I was like, this guy's the man, like, he doesn't even wait for like,
I don't think they had on the
no,
first
no, that felt like a little later on.
That was their little,
the first
like,
one was oysters.
Weekend
and then,
away.
I'm telling you, I think after the oysters, they went and kissed, and then he, like, what.
No, that was later on. They go later on, and he takes her to the wood hut shack he built on the river.
Maybe. I thought he was
then
just...
There's some boob grabbing.
There's some time. There's a little bit of time in there.
Oh, yeah.
She works at the gift shop.
I'm pretty sure it was their first kiss, because I noted that in my head, that, like, holy fuck, guy's a beast, dude. Like, the first kiss, then just tits right after.
Well, I know that there's some.
Maybe it's not the first date.
I think it's a little later, yeah.
But it was still a kiss. And then 10 seconds later, he was like, "Let's fuck." It's like, God damn, dude.
He did pretty much tell her what was about to happen.
Yeah, he did.
I called it out, and I was just like, I was joking. And he's just like, "Nope, there it is. What you do?"
And it kind of has a kind of sort of relationship between him and Annette O'Toole. Even though she has dialogue about how you can just be friends and have fun, so that's why it's like. So I get the idea that
she's like a side piece.
Well, yeah, the seventies just got over, so everybody's still fucking around. AIDS hasn't hit.
Later on, she makes the comment. She says, "I thought you were in love before, but that might have just been my vanity." So it insinuates that there was a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Something, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think they had that's what it feels like, that they had some kind of casual, you know, romantic relationship. You know. I mean, it's like that never really goes away even through the course of the movie.
Right.
I mean, she is the one that he relies on. Like, you know, if at some point I think he even brings her over when Irina is in the house.
They're making coffee and whatnot.
He sends, you know, obviously she takes it upon herself to try and get to know Irina in the gift shop and takes her out for drinks afterwards and whatever. Where they're hit on by a couple of guys. Irina's always being hit on by guys. In the bus station or on the bus or at the bar. I mean, that also becomes, I think, like a...
I don't know if it's
That one lady
is that what
really
it is?
That's what it is.
I was going to say, is that the theme of it?
Yes.
She's just a magnet.
Yeah.
The one lady in the bar never, I assume she's also a cat person, but the one lady in the bar who's just like,
mi hermana.
Mi hermana.
Yeah.
Like, I'm assuming that that is another cat person that she just happened to run across.
Yeah. It has to be. It has to be. It's shot in a weird way where the woman only seems to appear in the mirror. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's a callback to the 42 movie.
I was going to say, who was that?
I don't know who the actress was, that moment occurs in the 42 movie.
I was going to say, I wonder if that actress is somebody from the original movie. That'd be interesting.
But that's the thing, like, in the original movie, you know, it's like this adds to, if this is the psychological, you know, if the original movie being a psychological drama. In 42,
she probably
would have
only been 18. I'm just like.
But, you know, having this woman come up and approach her, you know, adds that layer of like, you know, well, am I crazy or is this actually happening because someone has acknowledged, you know, that I'm like, I feel like I'm different. This is what, you know, the cat person says. Yeah. And at this point, someone comes up and actually says, you're my sister. You know, it's like,
we should fuck.
That puts
that should have been the next sentence.
We don't know if like the lesbian thing like happens in this. If it was sisters, you know, then what happens? I don't know. We don't get that.
It's not a sequel that explores this in detail. This doesn't happen. Okay.
Cat sisters.
Oh my god, you guys would lose your minds. Yeah.
All right, so everybody's drawn
to
a
women's prison movie for some reason,
except maybe Annette O'Toole doesn't seem to actually like go into heat around Irina. But all the male characters seem to.
I actually kind of questioned it when they were at the bar and she made the comment about sometimes she says she's a lesbian. There was like that exchange between them. For a minute, I thought that things might go that direction.
Yeah, she was just saying that is like to ward off like.
No, I know what she was saying, but just the feeling between.
There was that feeling.
I kind of was like, they could go that direction right now. It's the 80s. I could see that happening.
If this was a modern day remake, they would.
Women try to save eggs for themselves, so women will be like, forget guys. They're mine. You know, that's what it is. I think that is what it is. She does like that. Like, I mean, she's not telling her don't fuck with Oliver, but she's just being like, oh, guy, you know, we're all these people.
She probably also takes her out to kind of get the information on her and kind of see how she feels about Oliver. She's just there to get information on her as well. Yeah. To be like, what's your situation happening here?
Yeah, because it's like it doesn't read as, you know, that she's jealous in that scene. Although that becomes a thing later
on. She genuinely like wants to get to know her and they seem like friendly.
Well, I think that's why it's genuinely weird later when also she's just like, you're trying to kill me. It's just like, okay, everything was like somewhat all right with you guys. Like, you don't know she's a cat.
No. Well, yeah, this movie was all over the fucking place.
It was kind of all over the place. Like, they're trying to lay psychological things with each other, but the movie's not doing it.
There's chunks that feel like there's when she goes back and we've when she meets up with Malcolm McDowell again, like, the last time she saw him, they were having as normal a relationship as those two can have.
Sure.
And then he pops back in later at night, and then all of a sudden they're very, like, declarative and standoffish, and he just goes straight for it. Like,
we have to make love.
Well, now.
But what it establishes is when, and this is what's kind of, you know, when you're trying to work out the mythology and how this like magical thing actually takes place. He's been in the zoo as a leopard, apparently, and he kills Ed Begley Jr. in a fairly spectacular gore scene.
Oh, there
it is. Just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Rips the guy's arm right out of his socket.
Like
the blood splashes against her virginal white shoes.
Like, strapping the
why do you do
thing
that
to his arm?
Why do you strap a prod
that's
to your
exactly
arm?
My point, to get dragged in.
Yeah, into the cat cage.
It was his electric prod.
So the animal doesn't take the prod?
Yeah.
But ends
up.
But he's been, while he's in the leopard form, apparently he is conscious in some way. Like, when he returns to a human form, he does have those memories because he says,
and
I think that's why he becomes so declarative. As you're saying, when he comes back, he's like, I thought, you know, you weren't ready, but you are. I saw you with Oliver. And so basically, like, you know.
Oh, you do have sex with dudes.
Yeah, or you want to. Yeah. You know,
not me.
Yeah. Because they can sense.
I'm your brother.
Just not your brother, huh?
But this is
it's big.
Well, it's established that, like, she can tell what animals feel like or whatever.
Yeah.
She's a cat person. She can feel the So
snakes are green or purple or whatever.
Are you talking about the?
Well, because when she's in front of the cage, she says, "Well, he's scared. She can feel his fear," kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think then the reverse is also true. He can sense. He can feel that she's horny.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's absolutely. Like, okay, so you're totally ready for this. I'm going to spring this idea on you. That we have
when
to
the
go
blood
to bed.
Starts, you can smell it. Oh, they can smell it.
Oh, yeah. Good God.
It happens.
Yeah.
Well, the crack bears.
I remember you were saying about a scene that, like, you know, where the movie was all over the place. There was a scene where while we were sitting here, like, you guys were like, what just fucking happened here? It was like an editing technique that I guess hasn't been done in a while or something. We were at Paul's house, and he chases Arena out of the house.
Yes.
She runs out and finds these cops and flags them down, says, somebody's chasing me. And then she's out in front of the house saying, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I must have been crazy or whatever. And a cop with a canine unit comes up, and the dog's barking. And they're like, well, we should check it out.
Check it out.
Then it cuts to, and this is where everybody was like, what's happening? It cuts to
a new character who's a black detective.
Barney from Silence of the Lambs.
Yes.
Frankie
yes.
Faison. And so this is about like 2-3 hours later. Yeah. All of a
like
sudden.
They've already searched the house. They've already called for backup.
They've
like
already
all
found
this
the
shit
stuff.
Has happened.
They've already formulated a story.
Like, so make sure a dog doesn't bark outside your house because they will dig in your basement
for hours.
Like, it's got to be something. I don't know what. Could be drugs. Could be a dead body.
But
we're going in that
there,
house.
Oliver and Alice were there again.
Like, yeah. Like everybody showed up in one cut.
So and then they're like,
yeah, that's
the
what's
cops
really
are explaining
weird.
It to Oliver and Alice, basically.
Right. Well, because the idea is what you're supposed to get from it is the leopard escaped from the zoo. Therefore, they think they find that maybe the brother's been keeping the escaped leopard.
Well, right, and feeding people to
with
it.
With the chain and the thing.
Yeah,
and for some reason, cops will just be like, call the zoologist on every case we have.
Well, yeah.
Oh, of course. It's ridiculous.
It's a small town.
It's like, can we do this over the phone?
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
no,
the dude gets there, tosses some bones around, is like, yup. It's dead. It's like, thank God we
it's not as good
here.
As the moment from Pieces. Can you tell if a chainsaw did this?
Yeah.
Well, even a layman can tell that this weapon cut these people up into, yeah.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, it's kind of weird. So Paul is actually like a serial killer of some type, right? He's been killing people down
using
in the
using an escaped leopard that just escaped the night before.
Because he is the leopard.
Well, yeah, but they don't know.
I know
that.
They don't know. Yeah, yeah.
It drives me crazy.
Right, he can kill people.
That's called a fucking.
Fine.
But this is kind of like it's like I guess there's a Wolfman kind of thing going on here, where Famali is his familiar, you know, Renfield kind of thing, right? That she must chain him up in the basement and then feed him people. I don't know, in order to turn him
people. I guess
people?
So.
Yeah.
Large dogs. Yeah. Women. They have to be women. Yeah. I guess that's true. I never thought that she'd be in on it, but I guess you're right.
She had to be.
She's arrested for it.
Yeah.
She knows. Like they make that obvious. That she
got
knows
a chain
exactly what's
basement.
Going on. Yeah.
That's like one of those like backstories that you always kind of wonder how the hell these two people meet and how they strike up this relationship. That I know this is going to be embarrassing when I tell you this, but I turn into a cat every time I fuck someone, and I'm going to need you to chain me up, you know, in the basement.
I think she knew the family from when she was real young,
and so she's used to it. That was my guess,
And grows up, and she doesn't think it's weird. She just thinks this is what happens.
But I never understood that when it's like, we have to separate these kids. You go with a friend of the family. You get out of here. You go to the orphanage fucking 300 miles away. Fucking daughters. Ugh.
Yeah, what happened there?
I don't. That's why I don't. Do they say that that chick was a friend of the family? The black lady was a friend of the. I just think
he
that's
never,
what.
He never identifies
that's
her. He just
who
says,
she
says
was,
that she's Famali. And
did she adopt him?
She keeps him out of trouble.
Yes.
That's all we know.
He fucks her.
So if he finds her through the mission or something, I don't know. I don't know.
The mission to fuck my sister, like,
well, his church.
Oh, okay, there you go. There's
that mission.
Well, that'd be an important. Like, I need to fuck somebody without turning into a panther. Very important. There's only one other person.
Yeah,
which doesn't. Well, I don't know.
I guess it's got to be brother and sister.
Irina ends up, you know, starting to, well, I guess what? She and Oliver do go off into the country, and that's where things get a little
crab
more.
Crab shack.
It is a crab shack.
It is. They go hunting for crab.
Yeah. Isn't that all you would, is that the only reason you want to date as well? Just so they can just be like, look at this. That's a thing, crab. It's a, you know, it's like, what's that?
So they can explain
what's that?
You.
You know?
That would get annoying. Awesome. It's like, I don't give a shit what it is. No, it's a snail.
No, maybe that'd be boring for them. They'd be like, that's a.
You know, Oliver, we don't need to know what everything is. Yeah. You could shut up.
Like
sometimes.
He can't help himself. Be like,
yeah.
You know, that tortoise over there. Ah, oh, shut up.
That's like year five of the relationship.
He was
right?
Funny though.
I could go both ways, right? You could, like, that'd be fun to listen to, but at the same time, you'd be like, oh, what's that one do?
Ugh. See, that's why Alice and him are made for each other.
Right? She doesn't talk.
Well, because she's into the same kind of stuff. She feeds the elephants and knows all the what the crabs are and
mm-hmm. what oh, kind and of that, tortoises. And that O'Toole?
Yeah.
For sure. They're like, the dog's sick. They can figure it out together. They don't need to do anything.
And start a detective
that's
agency.
That's a skill, right? Just, you know, what's wrong with the elephant?
She immediately runs behind it, jabs her arm up the ass. Mm-hmm.
It's not
it's warm. It's very warm. I still don't know what's wrong.
Yeah. Well, this is
what a relationship.
There's a scene in this out in this country thing where they end up. Irina goes for a naked stroll in the moonlight.
You have to. The cat.
It's the animal. It's just.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think.
Well, she develops her cat sense. We get to see like the thermal.
Cat eye.
Thermal vision.
Heat vision. We'll call it that.
Night. It feels more like a weird version of night vision.
It's a cat
it's
vision.
It's weird. Like back in the 80s, I remember seeing that like all the time. There was like a wolfen.
Wolfen.
Remember wolfen?
I remember
vision,
the wolfen.
Infrared or whatever.
Yeah. Everything had to have its eyesight.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they usually just do like fishbowl cam or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, you've got like over. Well, we see like stuff with overlaid graphics over pop up menus. What do you call it?
HUD.
Heads up displays.
Yep. HUD.
Yeah. So they're still doing them, but like after fish the Predator,
fish
you know.
Yeah.
Walleye vision.
Walleye vision.
Or that terrible Alien 3 vision, which was just like a fisheye lens or something.
It really was.
What do you do after that?
Yeah. Yeah, but this wasn't much better because I'm like, ooh, a snake.
It's colorful.
And, yeah, it turns green.
It's
and purple.
Pink.
Well, it was cool because I'm like, do cats, I don't know anything about how cats see, but it was a cool idea that, like, basically when she sees the snake turns like a red danger, you know, right? The rabbit turns like a purple or something. Like,
then it also turns a red.
The purple.
Yeah. That's my problem with the vision is like, it didn't have any sort of normal. It was just like kaleidoscoping, like, ooh,
or maybe
colors.
Like things that moved.
Yeah, these things are less interesting, and these things are more interesting, or whatever.
I think it went red when she was thinking about attacking. I think that was the Predator vision. It was when it went red.
Maybe.
But Irina is awakening to the idea that maybe she's actually a cat person. Well, I mean, was there a significant moment that happened between the
eating a rabbit,
the crab shack, well, eating the rabbit at the crab shack, and
but that's when she ate the rabbit, right?
Yeah.
Then she like scares her boyfriend by like.
That don't look at me.
That was creepy.
Yeah.
It was creepy, but I wish it was shot better, right? That it was a little weird. Like
it was
I don't know.
Funny. Like it shouldn't have been funny, but it was funny. Like, don't look at me. It's the
yeah,
lamp.
I'd like break up with her right then. Like I don't
you
know.
Would you, Travis? Would you?
Blood
you would
all over
not.
Her face.
You're always
she's a freaky
yeah.
fucking chick, man. She's out there running around naked.
Not if she won't. She won't shack. Fuck you, and she has blood on her face. I mean, like this has to end now.
This is intrigue. This is the game.
That is
right?
Not
this
intrigue. That's dangerous.
That's
shit.
Not a game I've ever played.
Yeah, he's waiting for the freakiest
well, that's
sex
what I'm
in the
that's
world.
That's why you're not sexually obsessed with Natasha. Nastasha. Yeah,
whatever.
Maybe that's how it works.
Natasha.
That's where it starts. That's where the fire burns. Oh. And starts to consume.
The fire
it's
burns.
It's the sense of discovery. It's like, oh, I never knew I liked
so
that.
Crazy.
Yeah, blood on the face and whatnot.
I know this movie goes into some really weird. Okay. Before we get to there, all right, so she does go back to. They go back to New Orleans, and the final confrontation with Malcolm McDowell occurs.
Yes. Okay.
Where he shows up and basically lays everything out, you know,
including himself on the bed.
Physically lays himself on the the bed, yeah.
Lays it out.
Yeah.
And she refuses to sleep with him and then triggers a transformation that ends up, he turns into a cat and Annette O'Toole, or he's going to kill Oliver, and Annette O'Toole comes in and blows him away with a shotgun.
Which didn't hit Oliver, miraculously.
No, she was aiming true.
They're right out the window. These are zoologists.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They can protect themselves against or giant cats.
Yeah.
When they have shotgun,
monkeys,
not going to hit them. Just, no. You guys know how shotguns work?
They do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's one single shot directly down the middle, right? That's how that works?
Sure.
Yeah. I know weapons.
But at this moment, so Oliver actually does get to see a person transform into a cat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this has to be like, well, I mean, like, it's hard to read John Hurd's, you know, demeanor at this point, but like, this has to blow your mind.
It's very
you
solemn.
See it in a room, like, you go into the room and there's a man there, and then he walks through a shadow, and then there's a giant cat there trying to kill you.
He's like,
I'm telling you, I think that was for the audience. I don't think he, because then you definitely wouldn't have sex with a girl if you're like, no, your brother turned into a cat, you're going to turn into a cat.
But
no,
he yelled
thank
at
you,
him.
Lady.
He yelled, Oliver! And then he started
going.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
It was very garbled, but it was
like
Oliver.
Half transformed, but he gargled
it. I don't know. Because he didn't have any questions. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would say something.
So well, immediately afterwards,
brother's
like
a cat.
And then you'd have the conversation with her directly after, be like, there's a chance
but he doesn't get to have that because she immediately takes off.
That's when she leaves, right?
And gets on the plane, or the bus, sorry, Amtrak, she's taking off. So that's she just leaves town.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think because she realizes is that what she's like, he's not my brother? No.
Well, she's not fucking sure. She saw him turns into a cat.
Yeah. She takes off, and then order
she's
to.
She's like, oh, I can't fuck anybody.
Well, because she goes to see Famali. And Famella's like, you can't love anyone. You gotta go. You gotta get out of here. And that's when she leaves.
Yeah, you're right.
And she knows that she can only have sex with the person she loves, so she just has to get away from him. Right?
Yeah.
She's not worried about falling in love with another person or somewhere else she goes, where she just knows, nope, I love that guy.
Yep. So there's danger.
I am going to have sex with him.
Danger here.
Gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
So she goes to the airport.
Where she has a dream while falling asleep on the... She falls asleep on the Amtrak. And has a dream.
That's what that was.
Ending number one, we call it.
Yeah, exactly. That was an ending.
That was the end of act two.
The feeling felt like an ending.
It felt like...
Really?
It's like
I was like, is she dead? Like, what just happened?
Well, I thought, like, you could talk to your cat ancestors in your dreams.
Yeah. I thought she was joining Malcolm McDowell.
Well, that's how you end a movie.
I thought she was going off into cat world.
You see, we are cat people. We all fuck each other at the cat tree. Mom's here.
That's all I know. I'm just like, oh, well, all right.
Because now I'm confused. So, is mom alive or is that cat heaven?
I think it's cat heaven.
But she says she wants to go there later. That as a place. She wants.
She says she wants to.
You don't
want to
go to cat heaven?
I think.
What if I have to fuck my mom?
Well, he says that you have to go back.
Don't look at me. I didn't write the stupid myth. This is the worst myth ever.
He tells her in the dream that she has to go back because, I mean, otherwise, how do you continue the movie? I suppose, like, I've always seen that it's the end of Act 2 and then the next scene we begin Act 3.
Oh, my God.
But it's like, how else do you get her to go back to where Oliver is?
I don't understand why he told her to go back. Does anyone
because
get
it? She has to become a cat.
She has to accept her
because
sexuality.
It's inevitable. It's inevitable. Yeah.
Because but it has to be with Oliver.
When she goes
him.
Back, she's suddenly the more confident, aggressive
Irina. Okay. Turn into a kid.
Yeah, which is, you know, she becomes, I don't know, what, more alluring in those scenes where she's like, you know, I think first she goes after Annette O'Toole at the pool.
Annette O'Toole at the pool.
Yep.
I'll let you guys have
that's
a
chapter in my book.
It was nice. We'll just like a moment of silence is what she means.
Yeah. Travis has long been a fan of Superman 3 and to see Lana Lang in the All Together.
Beverly.
But
Beverly Marsh.
It, right? Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. They've never seen
the Annette O'Toole
48 Hours.
Appreciation Club is started now.
So yeah, that's a scene that's lifted from the 19.
We're just leaning into it now.
I can't help it. I'm about to pound on the table.
They were nice.
Borrow
they were
nice. This.
Yeah. There were, and just freeze it in this one. It's going to wear out the disc in like one spot.
The one there's spot a, on a Blu-ray is
it comes
warm.
With the it comes with the DVD, right?
I don't think they do anymore.
Oh, no.
No.
There's the internet, my friend.
Yeah. There's this the place same. Called Mr. Skin. I don't know. Like what? So, yeah, but that scene is lifted from the 1942 movie. Both the scene with the trolley coming through that she steps into. That's like a big scare in the 42 movie that they tried to recreate here.
I was saying, that got me.
It came out of nowhere.
It did. I'm like,
it was a little
die.
Too weird.
Yeah, I thought she was almost going to walk into the damn thing.
Well,
yeah.
I actually do remember them showing that scene. Because, like, I've never seen the original Cat People, but I watched a really good documentary about horror that like really talked about cat people and showed the trolley scene.
Because
that's all that movie has to go for is like, it's got the pool scene and the trolley scene, you know?
I think the pool scene basically plays out the same way. She thinks that she's being stalked by a leopard. I think in the 42 one, there's maybe the shadow of a leopard on the wall.
Actually,
and then Irina steps out of the dark.
Is that trolley scene, is that infamous for being the first sting? The first sound sting.
It's something that's like that.
Why, is that why it's so
there's
popular?
Something like that, yeah.
It was the first, like, you know, stupid cat jumping out of a fucking...
But the sound of it sounds like a cat roaring or something like that. And,
it's just like, it's loud. The only thing that scares you is how fucking loud it is.
Jarring and odd. It's
just
jarring.
It was odd in this.
Yeah.
It works in the 42
It didn't
version.
Seem like that kind of movie. It scared me because I wasn't expecting it, but it doesn't seem like that kind of movie where stuff like that happens.
That's my problem with this movie. Very it's not really trying to be scary. It's too overtly sexual to be scary. So why even throw in a jump?
This is an erotic fantasy about the animal in us all.
It says right on the box.
Right on the box.
I think it's. I don't even know if it's an
the
erotic
case.
Fantasy.
It says so on the case.
I kind of wish there was more.
Well, it's not an erotic reality. There aren't people who turn into cats.
Well, but I just mean like I don't know like. Because by the time, like, that's my interest peaked when she came back and she was sexual and she's like, I'm going to turn to a fucking panther after this. And I'm like, how sadistic. Like, fuck this bitch. Like, but it doesn't work in this movie because it goes against her character. All she did was a stupid dream.
No, she comes back, she does fucking Oliver, and then she turns into a cat.
But that's what I'm saying. It goes against her character. She ran away specifically not to do that.
Right.
Had a dumb dream and decide, fuck it.
I know.
Now I'm a bitch?
It's a...
What? That doesn't make any sense. This is why this movie kind of is all over the place. It just does what it wants to do because it wants to do it.
Well, I think it gives...
Make excuses.
Well, I got to. Because it gives... I think... The dream is a weak link, true, but I think it gives justification for, like, you know, once she sees all of this, which she really is, then when she comes back, it's like, okay, so now she's just agreed with herself.
But why doesn't she just fuck anybody, not Oliver? Because
she loves him.
Well, but obviously not if she's like, fuck it, I'll sacrifice this dude, I'll fuck her, I'll fuck him, and then become a panther and eat his ass.
Well, I was kind of wondering,
I don't think she ever plans on eating him. I think she thinks she can control it enough.
Because is that what's going on in that scene where she, after they have
that's
sex,
still selfish.
Like she didn't turn into a panther during the sex.
Right.
Well, you wouldn't.
It's like, it seems like it could be like an hour later or whatever. He's asleep. Okay, 15 minutes
at least
it's
time for a cigarette.
Later?
It's 3 minutes later,
3 minutes later. He's asleep and she's awake.
That's later. What, are you just tying her up later? It's like, come on, dude, what are you tying her up for? This is going to be like a 10-minute thing.
Yeah. That's where it goes like, so, okay, so we can get to the end of the movie here. The idea, though, that, you know, once she does actually accept who she is, turns into a panther, and then, you know, there's the scene where is where, you know, I mean, I'm listening to them watching. It's like, is this the end of the movie? It's going to be the American Werewolf in London ending where she's out on a bridge. You know, the cat finally is out on the bridge. We've had the... not Rick Baker, obviously, but the transformation, latex, bladders, you know, moving
eyeballs,
things under the skin and whatever.
Boob sucking in.
But she escapes. She jumps off the bridge and into the water. And I remember seeing this on television, and the TV version actually did end on the bridge.
Really?
That was the end of the movie. Because, like, when I later saw it, I'm like, well, obviously, because nothing that happens in the subsequent scene in the cabin can be aired on television.
Right.
Because that's when it gets into bondage and shit like that. She basically says...
She's just fully nude, getting tied up really slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like...
I guess they could. They could just cut, like, to close-ups of the cops shooting That's find another thing of the thing dead, and then you could cut right to the autopsy scene.
It like stops the panther like slow motion going rah, then it like stops or something like that, and then it cuts to the zoo and it jumps right over the scene in the with the bondage where Oliver agrees. I guess like this is the thing. It's like he is so in love with her that he can't kill her.
Right. So right? Set me free.
But she's like, just kill me. Because I turned into a cat. And he's like, no, no, no. Then she's like, okay, well, fuck me one more time and turn me into a cat and set me free so I can live with my kind, which we find out in the coda. It means that he takes her back to the zoo and puts her in a cage and he gets to
I think that reiterates my idea of man wanting to keep her sexuality down. You know, he gets to turn into a cat and put her in a cage.
Yeah.
You know?
Her unbridled sexuality turns her into a cat woman, and then he locks her up. That is kind of like fucked up.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, is it a happy ending or is this kind of like.
I don't get it. Yeah.
No, because she's in a cage and it seems sad for everybody. The woman he loves is a cat. And it's just fucked.
But he kisses Annette O'Toole before he goes. So he's obviously in a relationship. Like, I'll see you at home, honey. Like, but then I'll go visit my like untapped sexual fucking like.
Like my love.
Whatever that is.
Yes. From something out of his pocket.
Bacon.
And then David Bowie
which is sings you away. But just the fact that, you know, the Paul cat, like, couldn't get anywhere near it. It was vicious and tear you apart. And the Irina cat still recognizes, you know, who he is and that she's still in love with him.
Yeah.
Because she's accepted that fate.
Yeah.
Paul didn't.
She doesn't want to go through all of it, so she's like, I will just be a docile.
She's in love with him. She can't fuck him anyway, so she's just a cat with him.
Yeah.
But it's weird. When she's a cat, does she have animal passion
for him?
I don't think so.
Because she just loves him anyway.
Well, she has the desire to kill, I guess. That's what you have when you're the cat, right? You want to murder. I
guess so.
You want to tear things apart with your teeth.
Do you want to, or do you think you have to because you want to be just back a cat. As a human?
It's nature.
I think that was the point of the whole thing, because the whole movie, Paul and Famali were both telling her that she was this creature that couldn't be controlled, that she has this animal, like, ferociousness instinct in her that she has to run away from the things that she loves, and I don't think she believed that, and I think this was her saying that you don't have to be that way.
Right.
That's what I got from it.
Yeah. No, I think that's it. Right.
Yeah.
It's like she. Yeah. And the dream is the link, or the whatever the moment the changes her between the person who doesn't believe it and the person who accepts it.
Yeah.
That is kind of a weak link. I mean, I get visually. Visually, it looks cool.
Visually,
it's like, oh.
There was a. I've seen a deleted scene where originally they had when you know they Paul walks up to the tree where the panther's like lounging.
Yeah.
And she's like, "That's mother." Originally, they had a matte painting of like a. It was like a leopard or with a woman's head. I've seen it. It's the exact same shot.
Like
him leaning there, and there, yeah, and it was like. Oh, thank God they didn't use that. And they went with the panther instead. Because it looks really, really, it looked really bad. It's on the DVD. And I think you can find it online. Maybe I'll see if I can post that on Facebook. You were talking about the David Bowie song.
Yeah.
That closes out the movie and does the. Okay, so here's the other thing. I have been a lifelong fan of Giorgio Moroder, the film composer. Move toward what would it be like dark wave or synth pop or something like this, and you know it's like it's a kind of come
Stranger
on
Stranger Things is kind of like
it's come on the back of like Daft Punk or something like that, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Which then they go back and kind of acknowledge Moroder as a source and an inspiration for their stuff. It's like when watching this, it's like now I'm seeing a lot of movies and like Stranger Things and all this that are trying to emulate the musical style that this guy did like back in the
80s. So,
Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yeah, exactly. And the Cliff Martinez and all that.
Retro
this
wave
is the original like kind of stuff. Sorcerer, Tangerine Dream, and all those.
The Guest.
Yeah.
Transformers, the movie. What's his name? Vince DiCola? I don't know if that's his name, but that fucking soundtrack is awesome, dude.
What we're saying, the vintage ones versus the modern. And so David Bowie wrote the lyrics of the song "Putting Out the Fire with Gasoline," which was then it's awesome, and it was used
I like
in Inglourious Bastards by Quentin Tarantino.
It was. when she's getting ready to burn it down and put on her red dress and mm-hmm. put her makeup. Because
she's
on
got
her.
Green eyes. And it says yes.
Yeah.
So one of those rare people I hate, probably. I hate him.
Oh.
I hate him.
I mean, I'm not his biggest fan, but. You know.
Yeah, I like this song. That's song. A, I mean, that's like probably my rest. Favorite David Bowie. That or the one from Lost Highway. Always soundtracks, it is. Oh, yeah. There it is. I don't care about anything else.
Really?
Yeah, fans.
You like Space Oddity?
Not really. Really? But then again, like I said, I'm not like, you know.
He doesn't like music.
I have an ear for the stuff that I like.
Loves Jackie Wilson.
Yeah, and the Giorgio Moroder stuff that I can't remember. Okay, so does that take us to the end of Cat People?
Yeah.
I guess so. Okay. No, I think it's.
All right, it's time for a mailbag. So you can write into us on facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. You can also write to us at on Twitter at Sat Freak Show or the old fashioned way, Saturday Night Freak Show at yahoo.com. So we're going to call our mailman, Igor. Where are you, sir?
Igor.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Thank you, Igor.
Hey, put that down. He was trying to take care of people back to his room.
Don't. What? Ooh.
Oh.
And he's. Oh, don't he's going to leave like the cat? It's just,
Maybe we should let him. I don't know.
He doesn't like get to do that much, does he?
Sometimes.
You never know what's going on back there. All right, so G Money writes in and says, David Bowie and Natasha Kinski create the sexuality in this movie, a perfect mesh of eroticism and horror, like a modern Wolfman / Dracula. He also says, for fans of the Return of the Living Dead 3, which we did a couple episodes ago, he says, I place Children of the Corn 3 in the same vein of awesome 90s gore. Michaela Tyson writes in and says, I love the original 1942 Cat People, so I have avoided this loose remake. Should I keep avoiding it? Travis is about to say, I say, Michaela, you got to stick with us through to Come the wrap ups, which are coming up right after the mailbag. And Nick Hammond writes in.
But you said mailbag.
The mailbag.
Nick Hammond writes in and says, not pertaining to this movie. I've never seen it, but I have been binge listening the podcasts I've missed over the last month, and I love the top 10 picks by you guys. Well, thanks for getting with the program there, Nick. So that brings us to the wrap-up, so we're going to give our final thoughts. You're going to find out what we each individually thought of Cat People. Aww. You hear that sound?
Yeah.
It's the butler coming.
The hour has come, sirs.
Thanks, Lurk.
My back is always to this. Like, I don't think I've seen Lurk.
He has a light footstep.
Does he? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Travis is going to start us out. Travis, what'd you think of Cat People?
It stinks. No, yeah, this movie stinks.
All right. Add another check to the wall. That's 1,365 movies that Travis does not like.
Should we change the title of this podcast to Travis Hates Movies?
You guys is probably.
Listener, you tell us the last movie that Travis didn't pick that he liked.
What are you talking about?
I was curious. All right, man, go ahead. Sorry.
Fucking people.
He liked mine last week.
Fucking people, man.
Stepford Wives. He liked mine last week.
Did he? I even like Cabin in the Woods. I just gave it a shitty review because there's shit that pisses me off about the movie. You guys just fucking like anything. It's just like, if it's a movie, you guys, like, we didn't have to sit in front of nothing. Like, good movie, guys. Yeah, with this, because to me, this doesn't have a lot of sexuality. It doesn't have a good murder mystery. It has nothing that interests me in this movie.
This didn't have sexuality?
It had naked people, but it didn't have sexuality. Not in my fucking mind.
Not the raw, unbridled sexual heat Nastasha Kinski.
No, it had this incestuous, like, creep factor. But, I didn't think it was to me, it wasn't shot sexy. It wasn't, it's just not a sexy movie.
Your remarks during the movie would suggest otherwise.
There was a lot of bush on screen. That does not make a sexy movie, just there's bush on.
Funny, that was Roger Ebert's exact review. It's right here on the back.
There's a lot of bush on screen.
There's a lot of bush. 3.5 out of 4 bushes. That's perfect.
Telling you. But yeah, I don't know. Just this movie doesn't do it for me. I mean, I've always stayed clear of this movie. I knew what this movie was going to be, except for the fucking incest thing. I was saying to Sean outside, it's like, dude, if there's a good enough story, they would have made it a werewolf movie. They don't make cat movies if it's a good story. If it's a good story, they'll just make it a werewolf movie.
Is the cat story the female werewolf? Guys turn into wolves and women turn into cats.
Well, but when do they even do that? Like, I mean, how many cat stories do we have? Cat people, sleepwalkers.
That's more than you would expect, right?
Not really, too. I mean, it has something to do. Female cat people.
That's who I know.
I don't know what it has to do with.
And they're not even cat people.
They're cat people, but they're not like cat people.
Right.
They're like, they turn into fucking cougars.
I mean,
yeah, they turn into a panther or whatever the fuck. And, but I don't know. It's not like
cat enthusiasts, like Catwoman, Black Panther, cat enthusiasts.
Can the remake just be called Cat Enthusiasts? And not as sexy as cat people.
Just we like cats.
It's like, we like just 20 minutes of people.
Just cat people. It's all these old women who have housefuls of cats.
Yes.
So, I mean, I guess that's my problem. Like, a werewolf movie always has some sort of a body count, some sort of a mystery going on, right? Where I felt like this movie didn't have that. You knew right from the get-go, like, oh, he's a cat person. He just did, like, a 70s Spider-Man leap onto the bedpost, you know? And, I don't know, yeah.
Was that it?
That was it.
Fuck you guys, I don't like this fucking movie.
There he is.
Aw. Check.
Yeah, why don't you people show some good fucking movies, and I'll start reviewing some good fucking movies.
They can't all be Monster in the Closet.
I know, right? They can't.
Fuck you, I like that movie.
I know.
High five.
All right. Cat people. I did enjoy this. I didn't know what I was getting into. This has been discussed here at the Freak Show in Colin's house for quite a while, actually, back in the days when Tom was a frequent member of the podcast. So it was good to finally see it.
Has Tom seen this movie?
I think so. I'm not sure.
He keeps saying cat people. Like, he would just shout cat people in the middle of a podcast randomly. So I think he's seen it in some form or another. But I liked it. Like I said before, aside from the incestuous parts, it's a sexy movie.
I really want to know. Did the incestuous parts defer you guys from the other sexy parts?
No.
No, because it's only Malcolm McDowell. Like, I associate the incestuous parts with Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah,
he's once like he goes away, right, or he's not in the picture, everything else is sexy.
Like it didn't kill the mood for you. Just like,
I don't think just a nude girl is sexy. That's not all it takes. It's just like, she's naked.
Unless it's Annette O'Toole.
This is sexy.
Then
you were pretty riled up about Annette O'Toole.
Because I've been looking at that woman since I was like 7. I guess I've always wondered, what's her tits like? What's her, you know? If you're wondering that for so long, then you never know when it's going to, you know, I didn't expect to see her tits tonight. They were just there.
It was a magical night.
So
surprise? Extra star
so
for stars? Cat people.
So something, yeah, you know.
A little something for everybody in there.
Saying. So yeah, Travis's opinion, this movie fucking sucks. Caveat. Annette O'Toole's tits.
Annette O'Toole's tits. I mean, which I hear is in 48 hours. So maybe 48 hours is a better movie. I could just get her tits from that. And Nick Nolte comedy.
But yeah, sexy movie. There's one scene I liked in particular, and this may sound weird, when Ed Begley Jr. gets killed. To me, the way it's after he gets his arm ripped off, it's kind of a, especially when the blood kind of rushes over her shoes at the end and
her white shoes,
and the white floor. It's kind of beautiful the way that's shot and just the red blood on the white floor and the way that whole scene goes. Like, I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. That was her getting her womanhood. Did you get that?
I'll skip it. I recommend it, especially if you've never seen Cat People before. I think there's something in here for you. You'll get something out of it. Maybe you'll like
Bake stuff.
Maybe you'll like Malcolm McDowell and what he does in this movie. I don't. I'm not here to judge you.
I'll judge you a little bit.
Maybe there's a lot of black trench coats.
You know, when Malcolm McDowell shows up, some fucked up rapey shit.
Seriously,
never just gonna have a loving relationship with anybody.
Is he contractually obligated to have this weird creepy shit in his movies?
Maybe he feels like that's the only way he gets to touch women. Like,
I think maybe it's the only way he thinks he can act. It's like there must be something wrong with me.
Well, they just cast him as the villain all the time, right? He's just, he was so good. He's typecast.
Yeah, fucking Clockwork Orange just fucked his whole career.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody does pretty good in this movie. I recommend it.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's I recommend Cat People. I would watch that again.
I knew what we were getting into when I saw the poster for this movie. I looked ahead of time. I was like, I wonder if you can judge this movie by the poster. And you can. You really can.
What does that mean?
It's going to be
wet, sexy.
It's going to be a movie
sexually wet
for guys, basically. This movie is not for girls.
Species is for guys.
There'll be some women who find this movie sexy.
This movie is not for girls. It's not sexy. Sorry, your girl getting hit on by your brother, and it's just not sexy.
If you ignore those.
Do we look Japanese?
That's where everybody's
guys
focusing.
Hitting on their sisters is not like something that's for guys.
There's much more of the movie focused on the relationship between Oliver and Arena.
No, I have to agree with her, dude. That whole incest thing just blew. I'm like, this is
the
worst.
They come with it out of the
world.
Gate, so it kind of sticks with you.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, but I'm done after that.
I can get
like,
past
no.
it.
I thought the acting was actually pretty good. They had a lot of up and comers that we recognized from a lot of different things. John Hurt was great. I kind of had a crush on him in this. I will give him that. He was kind of cool. I can't say I liked it though. It was just too weird. It was too all over the place. It wasn't the sexual stuff that got me. It was too all over the place. There was so many jumps in between scenes, and it was just weird, man. It was just fucked up. And the little stuff, like John Hurt declaring his love to her after like 3 days. And I'm like, dude, this is so weird. Like, yeah. It was just way too all over the place. So in that aspect, I can't say that I liked it. The sexual stuff didn't really bother me. It was what it was. Annette O'Toole had good tits. She did.
Heck,
I'll give you that.
I've never seen a bad one.
Guys might enjoy this for a watch. Girls, I don't know if that's your thing. You might, but... Yeah, I don't recommend it personally for anyone, but there you go.
I think this movie harkens back to an age in the 80s, you know, which I don't know what, where eroticism in films, you could actually have like, you know, adult movies. Mm-hmm. And in even your, you know, monster fantasy movies, right? I mean, basically, because that's what we're saying it is. It's goofy. There's people who turn into cats, right? But by adding that layer of erotic intrigue, because I think that's what it is. It's like Irina's mysterious. She's sexy.
This is the trailer, right?
It should be. Are they going to hire me?
She's mysterious.
She's
mysterious
sexy. And sexy.
She's a kitty cat. Yeah.
Meow.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it convincingly, you know, like it's a movie that feels like it takes itself seriously enough that you believe this whacked out crazy shit while it's happening. It's a horror movie. I mean, you know, that there's it just not, you know, as Travis is pointing out, it's not necessarily scary, but it's dealing with, you know, it's a monster movie, and it's dealing with like, you know, the collapse of a sense of identity or the discovery of a new monstrous identity, which is, you know, I guess the analogy for, you know, yeah, a young virginal girl discovering her propensity for sexual lust, you know? I love that kind of stuff. I mean, like, who does it, right? Yeah.
It's scary to me.
I just need to judge this man.
It just needs to be handled that
way. That is an adult thing.
Yeah, I think because that's why, like, this movie's a goddamn classic in my mind. I mean, like, it's one of those things where, like, I think not necessarily that it's
this
perfect.
This word comes out of your mouth.
But so. It works on so many levels. The casting is like spot on perfect. All the minor people do fantastic work.
Yeah.
I think it's also helped by a little bit of nostalgia. The fact that like now I go back and I'm like, holy fuck, I know like John Larroquette shows up in this
yeah.
movie. Frankie Faison was in or Faison yeah. was in Silence of the Lambs. It's like you can, you know, see where everybody went on to after this movie.
Doing his best Shaft.
Yeah. It has a visual style. I think like even I'm staring at the poster of this movie, it was just kind of like burnt orange kind of look. But I think that that's also kind of adds to like the kind of. It's not like a fleshy heat, but it's like, you know, something about the sexual
fleshy heat.
Right, yeah.
Fleshy.
It's definitely it's flesh dancy looking, right? It's
yeah, like, yeah, right. Cover so, it is, yeah.
Yeah, with the water.
It looks like you're in a steel mill for some reason. And there's water and she's naked.
And it's
like,
produced by Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yeah, like, it's all like 20 music Jerry videos Bruckheimer. In the 1980s, wasn't it?
I'm
like,
telling you, that's
naked water and
naked water and like there's molten lava to the side for some reason. You're in a steel mill.
God, the 80s were sexy.
It's a, it is a really very, fun. Very sexy movie. Hot, sexy movie.
Hot.
I mean, and Nastasia Kinski is a specimen, right? Who's undraped
concur.
Often in this film, which I think, you know, also like when you saw Species, I think the first time, or Life Force for me, it's like, wow, there's, you know, just, I don't know, makes you feel good to be
warm
alive.
Watching a naked girl warming threaten below. Your masculinity. And like,
what else has she done? And I'm asking for a friend.
She was in a Roman Polanski movie called Tess. This
okay,
big, like,
that makes a lot of sense. Oh, Jesus.
And
she also dated the Paul Schrader during this?
Yeah, she dated Roman Polanski during... Yeah.
Jesus!
Of course.
Fucking scandalous!
And the last thing that I remember seeing her in, she had blonde hair and she was in a movie with Wesley Snipes called Drop Zone.
From Drop Zone?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Jesus.
I used to watch that movie all the time.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
She does not take her clothes off.
She doesn't.
Because she learned early.
Right? This is
she learned early on. Like, God damn it. Yeah. I love Drop Zone.
Well, she doesn't like this movie. She thinks it was manipulative and all this other stuff. I'm like, well, you know, you broke up with the guy who made it, so you're going to say that.
Yeah,
you know?
I was going to say. There seems...
Yeah, because she comes off, I think, very well in it. You know, I mean, she is a cat
person.
You know, I mean, just in her the grace of her movements and her physique and all this. I mean, it's, you know,
but she doesn't have a lot of character. All she is supposed to do is get naked in this movie.
No,
I can see
she
why
is,
she
like,
feels
can,
like a little like.
I thought she was the weakest of all the actors in this movie.
She was the weakest of all the characters. She had nothing to do but wander around.
Yeah.
That's something like, what
I
do
disagree
you-
100% with all you guys. And I got to say that because this is my wrap up thing and you already had your shot. Yeah. No, I mean, like, it does feel like. I mean, I empathize with her being the, you know, at least for the first half until, you know, then we switch and empathize with Oliver in the second portion of the movie. But to me, it works. It fires on all those cylinders where, like, you're seeing this girl who's conflicted about, like, her own inner life. I mean, a lot of times when they say, well, you know, women who are models or something, and I'm assuming that she started off in a model.
Oh, yeah.
As a model. You know, it's like... the least experienced actor sometimes in these things. So, but I think she conveys, I mean, as an actor, everything that the emotional states that she goes through in that movie, like, come across. So it's like, I think that she does the job, you know? It's not like there's times where I'm like, oh, she was supposed to be giving us this emotion, but it's not quite there. I mean, like, it seems like I'm feeling what she is conveying whenever she's doing it. So that's why I'm like, I think her performance works, you know?
I'm not saying the performance don't work. I just think the character, there's nothing there. She's somebody that doesn't know her past, doesn't know who, I mean, she just doesn't know fucking anything. It's just like, I don't believe in that person. I don't believe like, hey, Colin, where'd you go? I don't know. Like, I don't, my brother found me. I don't know. I'm like,
she never does that in the movie.
But she has,
it sounded like
but
it.
She has like a whole backstory on where she came from. Just the brother doesn't want to hear it, but she's talking about like her, you know, adopted parent, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, It's I think it's a fine film. The only thing tonight, as I was watching it, you know, I've never experienced this before because every time I watch this movie, it's like this
he's
works.
Been
like,
alone.
Yeah, but it works. It works. No, actually, I have seen this with other people and it worked okay. But this time around, I was aware.
Hands, you know, above the cover.
Sometimes you're in a group situation and you can kind of read the way that the group is experiencing the movie, and it was like, oh, this is playing as kind of long, you know, this time around. And it's like, I think, you know, the editing rhythms of this movie are, you know, what they were in 1981. Things take more time to develop. They go into more detail of like, this person's going to walk all the way up the stairs and stuff, yeah, like that. So the editing rhythm is out of step with movies today. So I think that kind of maybe makes it feel, I mean, it is like 2 hours, but
Some of it seemed misplaced. Like, I think the transformation scene would have played out way better earlier in the movie. I think by that time we were just like,
no,
oh,
you
okay.
Gotta wait, because that's like the whole movie's hinging on, like,
but
is she gonna turn into a,
like,
Catwoman?
But no, it wasn't exciting. You're just like, yeah, she's turning, because
you
high.
Know, that's what I'm saying. This movie doesn't have the thing. Other like werewolf movies either have like, are they a werewolf, or it's like, this movie doesn't have any goal it's searching for. You're like, what am I waiting for? Is she gonna fuck Oliver?
That's what you're waiting for. And then is, oh, she gonna kill Oliver afterwards? Like, it, I mean, you're going into the movie with the assumption that she is a legitimate,
right, but
cat
that's
person,
what you're waiting,
right,
for. You're waiting to see what she's gonna do to Oliver. You're, yeah, not waiting for the transformation. That should have come earlier because it was just kind of overshadowed. That's what I think, anyway. Sorry, it's your wrap up.
But she can't transform until she has sex with Oliver.
Right, yeah. And I think, I don't know, I was waiting for, like, they kept delaying that moment. Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah. Because what if the Wolfman can only kill one dude towards the end of the movie? And then, is it going to kill him? Is it going to? It's like, no, that sucks.
No, but you're,
that's why you get another.
Are you talking about, you
Panther.
Have, yeah, you have the other guy, the Paul, other guy, out murdering everyone in the woman that he takes back to the, from the cemetery.
But it's not the character.
The hooker,
you don't even care
and,
about
it. And Ed Begley Jr.
You
do
care.
Have a body count in this movie. And a gore. And
you don't care.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
A fantastic film. I wholeheartedly recommend it. Cat People, seek it out. It's on a collector's edition Blu-ray from Shout Factory right now. Mm-hmm. So next week, that's it for Cat People. Sorry, Cat People, we have to leave you. And next week, we're going to watch a movie that Travis is going to choose for us. Travis, what are we going to watch next week?
We're going to see some real sexy shit in Cool World. That's some steamy.
I know, if Hollywood, cartoon. She could.
Hollywood, if she could.
Yeah. Not this Holly. Sorry,
no,
that was the
me.
Tag for,
not
yeah,
me.
Okay, yeah. So that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. And until then, the basement is going dark.